sleep? Were you, the flood was just...
I could hear all kind of noises. And it was just the sound, you know, that I heard that night.
Kept coming back to you.
Yes, it did. And the roar of the water and the rocks in the water and all this noise that we heard again upstream from us.
Were you saved before that night, or did you get saved that night? Can you tell me a little more about that experience?
Well, it was just a feeling come to me. I'd never asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins or save me before, but that night I had the best feeling I ever had. It was just a feeling that, you know, you just wanted to get everything cleared away. You had a feeling that if everything was going to be all right for you the next morning, you just had to ask the Lord to forgive you and try to make the best of your life from then on.
Has that feeling stayed with you?
Yes, it has. I mean, I feel hurt when I see a lot of people doing things since the flood. It seemed like everything right after the flood, people was more friendly and you know, they associated more and they was had a better look on life and everything, but I'm afraid that's slipping away from them since the flood, from a lot of people.
Hard to keep your hopes up with snow on the ground and winter setting in, I guess.
Yes, it was really a bad time for a thing like that to happen. But that was to be, or it wouldn't have happened.
Do you think it was preordained for that to happen?
Yes, I do.
Part of God's plan?
Yes, I do. Well, that's something I don't know, but I think he had this in mind. Maybe to bring people closer together and, you know, to try to get this part of the country straightened out anyway. Well, I'm hoping, if the weather ever clears up, to get my trailer and have it set out here on the lot. Priscilla has let me put a trailer by her garage.
Is that a FEMA trailer?
Yes.
What was your experience in dealing with that?
Well, it's like I read in a paper. When something good comes to help the people in need, the greed comes in and destroys it. I didn't have too much success with FEMA, but they agreed to let me have a trailer, and that's all I want.
Not really, unless you want to elaborate on any of the difficulties that you had. I think that was maybe a story in itself. Some of your dealings with FEMA and attempting to stay up here with Priscilla and FEMA wanting you to move down in the trailer park.
Yes.
Mount Seneca.
Well, when I called them and told them that I wanted a trailer, There was nothing mentioned about going to the trailer park. I told them I had a private lot and that I would like to have the trailer put on since I didn't want to go back on Berkshire Run because of everything I had seen go on back there. And they agreed at the time. And they sent Clayton Hardy, he works for FEMA from Buckhannon, over to look the lot over, and he looked the lot over, and he said there was nothing wrong with the lot, but at that time, they had put in one for my cousin just up the road here, and they had put in the drain lines and put the septic into his son's septic, which is not legal, and so I told Clayton Hardy, I said, I'll try to talk to FEMA and see what they'll do for me on the way of a septic system and let you know. And I called them and they didn't return my calls, so I called Clayton Hardy and told him. He said, well, I have a paper from them, and he said, today's the due date, I have to reject the lot. I said, go ahead and reject it. So he did. And it was a couple weeks after that, but or only a week maybe, I called FEMA back, and finally I did get out of them, and Mike, he worked with them as to what they their requirements was in order for me to get the trailer. I'd have to put my own septic and my own water lines and electric. All they do is would be to furnish the trailer, and they would hook this all these things up if it was there, and they wouldn't bring the trailer unless all these things were there. Well, I went to Riverton to order some supplies for my septic system, and I talked to Mike Meadows, and after we decided to get the order sent out, he said to me, did I have assurance that I would get a FEMA trailer? I said, I don't have it in writing. I said, only thing I have is what they told me on the phone. And he said to me, if you don't have it in writing, he said, you might as well forget it. So when I came home, I called FEMA, and I told them. I asked them why they didn't want me to have a trailer. I said, I haven't received anything from FEMA for rent. And I said, I know some people that went into the trailer park and they got $1,200 for rent. And I said, I haven't received anything. And they kept, every time I'd call FEMA, they'd say, well, the trailer park's available. And I'd say, yeah, I know it is, but I'm not going. And so I had a pretty good talk then one afternoon after I talked with FEMA and they didn't give me any satisfaction about getting the trailer. I talked to Bob Tuckerman, old Franklin, and I said to him, I said, well, I know what you've done for other people, and what you do for one, you should do for all. And I said, there's two other people in my situation who want trailers on private lots, and I said, it's possible we may have a hearing. So he said, well, go ahead. That's the way he talked to me. He said, it's your priority. I said, yes, indeed it is. And he didn't talk very nice at all. But I think after you called me on the next day after I talked to him and told me, Mike, that you had called FEMA and that they said, you know, they were going to let me have a trailer. But before you called me, I think it was before I called FEMA. Or they called me, I don't know which. We made some May phone calls. I got all confused at the time we talked and everything else. But anyway, Mike told me the same morning that FEMA told me that they were going to let me have a trailer. But I'd have to get my own electric, you know, and all this. And then we went and talked to Riverton Recovery about the electric. And Mike Meadows called Franklin. And they told Mike that They didn't know whether they'd let me have the electric. And they gave me a number and said, call this man, he might let you have it. So when I come home and told Priscilla, she said, they can't keep anyone from getting the electric. And so the next day, she called public service. And then she turned around and called Montague Power Company and told them she'd called them. And they said, well, they just could give me the electric. They'd send the man over. And he's already been over and got my electric hooked up, what he's supposed to do. It's ready to go in the trailer. But FEMA just did not start. They started out okay, but they stopped too soon. They didn't treat everybody alike. I don't have no hard feelings against them.
I said it made for hard feelings.
Sure did.
So you're going to get your trailer now set up?
As far as I know. As soon as we can get a septic system in the weather, it's a hold up.
You think the recovery could have gone any better? How could it have been organized better?
Well, in the first place, this Riverton Recovery should have, there should be some identification for the people that lost their homes and the people that didn't. Because that's where I say, when you get something good going, why, it's for the people in need. Why, these other people comes in and takes advantage of it, and then they have to cut it out, which has been going on all the time. Preston County, they have IDs. And when you go to the store to buy something, you don't have to pay tax. I went to Bowers to get 400 feet of this flexible pipe to put in the drain for around this field where I'm putting my trailer. And I told them I was in the flood, lost my house, and they said, well, they couldn't, if I didn't have an ID card or something to show that, they couldn't take the taxes off. They had to charge the taxes, so I paid the taxes. So something's going to have to be done about finding a way to sort out the ones that needs these tax relief things and other things in order to keep people from destroying things when you get something going for the needy.
Sounds simple enough.
I mean, I know some people that it makes $1,000+, went to Riverton after groceries, after those, after the food. Yes, I do. In fact, I was in there. And I was in a position to know.
Were they in the flood? No. Right?
No flood at all. Mm-hmm. I talked to Kay Seitz about that. And she said, like I said, there's always something has to come along to destroy anything that's put up for the people to try to get back on their feet. And people like that is the ones that's doing it.
Well, I have a feeling it's going to all work out somehow, but it sure has caused a lot of heartache.
Yes, it has. I read in the Elkins paper yesterday where, you're supposed to go to your county commissioner and fill out a form for this tax relief before the end of this month, which will help out.
Well, I appreciate very much your telling me this story. It was you had a wonderful way of telling it. It's a sad story, but it's still, I'm glad we've preserved it because I think it's important. And do you have any objection to this material being used
No, I don't.
In a radio series or in a book form?
No.
One of the interesting stories I've heard told time and time again down on Brushy Run that was very surprising to me was the amount of looting that took place after the flood. Many people thought that was just as devastating and demoralizing as the effects of the flood.
It sure was.
Some of the people had to leave their homes down there, and before they could get back, people had taken away their personal possessions, in some instances come right into their houses and trailers and taken things out of their trailers that weren't even damaged by the flood. Do you have any stories or any experiences related to the looting, or did you see any?
I saw a lot of looters, but as far as to see them go in people's houses, I didn't. But there were other people that said they saw them, and they tracked their footprints right in the sand. When they went in to get, they thought they could maybe salvage some things. I know this one girl, Beck Teeter, she was in Morgantown, and her trailer washed away while she was going, and she didn't get back to it till on Thursday morning for Monday. There was footprints all over inside where they'd been in, and they took guns, pictures off the wall, and several things that she could have salvaged, which was not right. I mean, the only thing I seen down below my house was a pair of pruners, and I couldn't pick them up for three. On the third day, I picked them up because it just seemed like I seen so much going on. I knew they were mine, but I just didn't have. I don't know what it is about a person that you can't do such things. Even though you see it, and it's yours, but it was just the flood still running through my mind and how it happened and all, that I couldn't pick those pruners up at all. But I finally picked them up.
But for a couple of days, you felt like you couldn't.
I just felt like I hadn't functioned for a month. Just like everything had been drained out of you. You didn't have the energy or anything about you that you had before.
Did you have the feeling, looking up and down Brushy Run, that it was just unbelievable what had happened?
Yes, if I hadn't seen it happen, and you know, someone would have told me, I just couldn't hardly believe it. And my dad's buried about a mile from my house up there on the hill. And when I seen all these slides, I got worried about the cemetery. And one day I walked up there to see if everything was all right. And we just put a new chain link fence around it last year. And I could see from the road the fence was all right. But I went on up to make sure that there were no slides in it, and it was okay. But now the 30 acres that he owned, his pasture land, is on the opposite side of Brushy Run. I looked across Brushy Run up to where the land lays, and there was one slide after another in the pasture. Great big ones. And it come down so far and stop. It was headed towards Brushy Run, but you know, it would come down so far and it would stop. And my uncle had quite a bit of that in his farm.
So it changed the way the land looked in
everything. It's not the same place. It just doesn't look. As far up as I've been, but I've been up as far as the hardtop goes. But now a friend of mine said he had went up in there, and he said it was terrible. You have to go on foot. And he said the upper part of Brushy Run was terrible. There's one place back there at the end of the hardtop where it comes together just like that. The earth, just like it come over top of the water, the flow of the water, and the water just seeped through it, you know, and went every which way.
you feel about seeing an all changed around like that?
Yeah. You feel like you just don't have a desire to be around a place like that anymore. Way I feel. I couldn't lay down and go sleep back there. Right now I couldn't of a night. Because you'd always have it in mind. It could happen, if that had happened while we was in bed, there'd have been a lot more drowned. I'm thankful for one thing, that my dad went in March. Because in his condition, I don't know what we'd have done. That's right. That's what I told some of my friends. I said, if he'd been living, I'd have been in there. I wouldn't have left him.